Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of A Sound Heart Radio. This morning, our topic is One Meets Jesus Only Through the Cross. That is, one meets Jesus only through the instrumentality of the cross. It is imperative to have this understanding and this specific awareness. Now, one may read about Jesus in books, and one may read opinions that scholars have put together about the person of Jesus. One scholar whom I particularly like to read said that the scholar's God may not be God. And I thought that was very powerful and very insightful. And I love the frankness of that statement, the meticulous frankness of that statement. And so the scholar may have an idea about a God whom he desires to see, and not he may not have in mind you mean that has specifically in mind of Jesus. The person of Jesus is met through the instrumentality of the cross. We may read about the public ministry of Jesus in the first century AD in the four Gospels, that is, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and they are called the Synoptic Gospels, a term which means a seeing together. And then there is the Gospel of John, written in very simple prose, Greek prose, but very profound, and some would even say mystical, the mystical prose. So very powerful writings indeed. And so one notices in the public ministry of Jesus that he taught in the synagogues, but he did not stay in the synagogues. His theology, his teaching, and his preaching was always first person. There was immediate contact with people of, well, the religious community, political community, the well-to-do community, and the poor. Jesus met them all. And then he had a specific community of his followers. And it is very interesting to see how Jesus negotiated and loved these different personalities. And he brought these individuals together who would take over the ministry of his word when he would be snatched out, that is, when he would ascend back to the third heaven. Now, I want to read this one from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, it should literally be the God of this age, small G-O-D, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Notice specifically that the Satan opposer, or the devil, the one who divides people for no reason, hath blinded the mind of them which believe not, of those who have determined that they will not believe. Now, their belief, their failure to believe, I should say, is not based upon the lack of adequate evidence. There is sufficient evidence for them to believe in the person of Jesus, in the resurrection. There is enough forensic evidence available for the for individuals to believe. So please read the Gospels and read 1 Corinthians 15. So these people have determined not to believe, and so therefore the Satan blinded their minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image, the icon of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined in our hearts. That should literally hath shined in the cardias of us, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So we, collectively, members one of another, members of the ecclesia or church, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency or the superabundance of the power may be of God and not of us. And so these are the words of Paul. And Paul's theology was a living theology. It was a powerfully academic theology that was brought together, or that was forged in the crucible of life. That is, Paul's theology was fashioned from his dedication to the Lord, his dedication to carrying the gospel to different people until he reached Italy. And so it is only when the word of God has become a living reality in the heart or in the cardia that the individual has the courage and the fortitude. The individual has the ability to keep on keeping on to the dunamis or to the power of God. And Paul knew this, and Paul lived this. And Paul had given his life completely over to God. Paul realized who Jesus was for him. Now, keep in mind that formerly, as Saul of Tarsus, Paul was a zealot against the church, and he was quite severe in his persecution of the church, but a powerful event changed his life, and that was his encounter with Jesus. He met Jesus in his post-resurrection ministry. Most certainly Paul had heard of Jesus and probably even seen Jesus. And he was an adamant enemy of Jesus at one point, because he was blinded in his heart. He said he persecuted the church ignorantly in unbelief, but God showed him mercy because he did. He persecuted the church ignorantly in unbelief. But Paul received the gospel, the good news. He received the Evangelion as an imperative for his life. He See, the gospel demands to be believed. The gospel is never a suggestion or in anything in that matter. The gospel is a demand. The gospel is an imperative demand that God be believed. And so the arrogant ones are those who refuse the counsel of God against themselves. And they will one day, in the future, meet the results of their action. Revelation 19 speaks about the great white throne judgment. And the dead, and of course the dead is an adjective, and the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books. See, those who have received the gospel are said to be rescued or saved. They have eternal life through Christ Jesus, John 3:16. Those who refuse the message of the gospel will go into eternal fire. Now, I understand there are preachers who say that they don't believe in the virgin conception and birth of Jesus. They don't believe in Gehenna or the lake of fire. They don't believe in future judgment. They do not believe that there will be a tribulation period. It goes on and on. So what is the purpose of these individuals? They do not teach the word of God. If they, in their teachings, do not ask for a positive response to the gospel. There are those who preach, well, one does not have to be born again, or they don't even know what that means. So they are taught a species of counseling, and they tutor you in how to feel good about yourself and how to deal with how to have positive self-esteem. This false teaching has hurt many individuals in the church. God has shown us his will and taught us his will through his word. God has shown us how we must live before him. We are to be sanctified, that is, set aside unto him. Sanctification is a process. We have positional sanctification. We have been saved. We are being saved, and we will be saved. We have been saved from the penalty of sin. We are being saved from the power of sin, and we will be saved from the presence of sin. This is the will of God for those who love him, for those who know him through his Son, Jesus Christ. This is only through the cross. It is only through the instrumentality of the cross an individual is saved. It is believing that Jesus died and that he was buried and that he rose again for your justification, that Jesus died on your behalf. His death was entirely substitutionary. His death was efficacious. Death was effective. And so, on the third day, he was raised again, perfect tense, ever to remain standing. This is the word of God. This is the gospel of our salvation in this age of treachery, violence, and deceit, and candor. You noticed how people can just lie and lie and lie during our time? The word of God is true. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father except through me. Good morning. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day.